ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The House will vote first tomorrow on a bill to keep parts of the government funded for at least a few more weeks. Leaders reaching a deal today.
They have said essentially that they have real meaningful progress to at least fully funding part of the federal government. Negotiations continue on how to fund the rest of the federal government, but luckily they have, if they pass this temporary bill, until March 22nd to figure that part of all of this out.
ABC's Jay O'Brien on Capitol Hill. The Supreme Court has agreed to decide if former President Trump can be prosecuted on charges that he interfered in the 2020 election. The justices will hear arguments in April and issue a decision no later than June. The New York State Court Systems confirmed envelopes of white powder were sent to the chambers of Justice Arthur Engoron and State Attorney General Letitia James this week. She successfully prosecuted Mr. Trump in a civil fraud trial. He presided over the case. This is ABC News. In Athens, Georgia,
there'll be time for questions.
Guilty and got blood on your head.
Mayor Kelly Gertz was set to announce new safety measures in the wake of a nursing student's murder on the University of Georgia campus. Instead, he was met with angry residents calling for his resignation.
And no policies have been adopted by the mayor and commission that have created sanctuary city status in Athens.
You need to resign.
One protocol that sometimes arises.
Police have arrested 26-year-old Jose Ibarra of Venezuela for the murder of 22-year-old Lakin Riley. The FCC is considering a new rule that could stop domestic abusers and stalkers from tracking victims through their vehicles. Nearly all cars and trucks have features that use telecommunications to find cars in parking lots, start the engine remotely, and even connect with emergency responders. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Connect the dots. Would you dip into your retirement savings to make a loan to climate-polluting oil, coal, and gas companies? Well, you already have if you're a member of Wisconsin's public employee retirement system. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. Sign the petition. Common sense investments, not financing polluters. Future generations will thank you for visiting. That's climatesafepensionswisconsin.org.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The FBI is offering a $15,000 reward for information in the week-long search for a missing three-year-old boy from Two Rivers. That's on top of the $1,000 reward the local Crime Stoppers chapter is offering. Elijah Vu has been missing since last Tuesday. His mother and her boyfriend are charged with child neglect and are not telling authorities where the three-year-old is. Now that Wisconsin has more competitive legislative districts, Democratic donors are doubling their investment in races for Wisconsin Assembly and Senate. The National Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee today says it plans to give another $24,000 to Democratic campaigns this year. That's the maximum allowed by law and equal to an amount given back in December. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Packers at the podium.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where after Jordan Love's success last season, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst getting a lot of questions about how to draft a quarterback.
For me, I've always thought certainly the amount of time and games you've played in college, I think, really does equate to some success at times. And over my time in the league, you know, that's gone down a lot. These quarterbacks are coming out earlier, and they seem to have less starts under their belt.
College basketball, strange night for the Badgers. An alarm went off in the second half, delaying the game 25 minutes in Indiana. The Hoosiers went on to win 74-70. Baseball, the Brewers lose to the Angels 6-4 in Arizona. Arizona. NBA, the Bucks over the Hornets, 123-85. Doc Rivers says the Bucks are getting better on defense.
I thought we were very physical. I thought our hands were active. Our deflections over the last four or five games have just skyrocketed.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight with lows in the single digits, but sunny and much warmer tomorrow, highs in the low 40s. Sunny, breezy, and even warmer Friday, high low 50s. The warmth continues to build for the weekend, partly cloudy and near 60 Saturday, low 60 Sunday. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Tune in Thursday for the incomparable Bill Press on the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll find out if there's a governmental shutdown, 4 to 6 p.m.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wears a bathing suit in the shower, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. I don't wear a bathing suit in the shower. Unless all my underwear is in the wash. Then I wear a bathing suit in the shower. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. It's Leap Day Eve. This is a big night. It only happens once every 4 years. It seems like it should be more special. Like a day that, like Christmas happens once a year, the 4th of July. Leap year, once every 4 years. We don't really make that big a deal about it. I guess I kind of am right now. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me for another 2 hours of all-out fun on a school night. Hopefully we can help make your day, help you unwind. You had a rough day. This is the place to be. We're going to have some laughs tonight. We're going to talk about movies and TV. And Brian Hicks is going to be here. He's a comedian from Chicago. He's got a Wisconsin date he's going to talk about. We are going to help him promote that a little bit and see if we can get some of our awesome Wisconsinites to go out and see Brian. He's a very funny guy. Christy Barlament will be here in the second hour talking a little bit about how she helped make downtown Green Bay a little more dementia friendly. Christy is kind of all over the place. She's always fun to talk to. She knows everybody in this town. Conrad, have you met Christy?
Yeah, just a couple times, yeah. You know.
You knew her for like 3 days and she gave you a Christmas gift.
Yes, she did.
How cool is that?
That was great.
She is lots of fun. She'll be along in the 8 o'clock hour. And we got a lot to get to. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world of show, the business of show. Lots of fun stuff. I watched Abbott Elementary last night. I've been hearing so much about this show. And Chris Foran was on last night, and he said he was watching it. And that kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm like, all right, I got to watch it. I've had like 10 guests in the last month that all said they've been watching Abbott Elementary. And this after I've been railing on network TV shows. I was probably a little harsh. But Abbott Elementary is on ABC, and it's a good show. I just watched the pilot. But if you like shows about teachers and the funny things kids do, especially in an inner city school that's underfunded and how the teachers cope with it, very funny. I enjoyed it. So I checked that out last night. And what else? I've been watching a lot of TV. Loads of TV. I have to watch the Walking Dead spinoff. Are you guys Walking Dead fans? Let's talk about this because we've really talked about that show much on Nightlight since we launched. And I was a huge fan of the show when it came out. I watched the first three seasons probably in like a week, maybe 2 weeks, to the point where I got depressed. I was like anticipating almost a zombie apocalypse because that stuff gets in your mind. I had to take a break, but And that's when the show was excellent. Like, the pilot of The Walking Dead is so great. Andrew Lincoln, who plays Rick Grimes, gets shot. Gunshot, police-related gunshot. He's a sheriff in Georgia. Wakes up in a hospital after being in, like, a coma, I guess, for, like, 30 days. And the world has gone to hell. There's zombies everywhere. He's the only living person in the hospital. It's so creepy and so well done. And that's how the show starts. I've watched the pilot episode probably three times, watched the first three or four seasons probably twice, and made it through the whole series. I kept with it, even though I kind of got sick of it for a while. But there's a spinoff. There's been, I think, four other spinoffs. This is called Walking Dead, Those Who Live. And Rick Grimes is back. They supposedly killed his character off maybe 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And Rick is back. And in the first scene of the show, he's being held captive. And he cuts his own hand off at the wrist to escape. And that was probably, that's gutsy. That's like, you might have a tough time following yourself when you open a show like that. Where do you go from there? But I will watch it. I'll check it out and give you a full report. Walking Dead was all the rage for a while, and I thought it was very well done. It was so well done, it spawned its own spinoff called Talking Dead, where they would talk about the episode that was just on with some of the stars and some guest stars, and they would just dissect the episode. And that show was popular. So, I will watch that and get back to you. I did enjoy Abbott Elementary. Conrad Krieger is here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Conrad, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Get those, we got some texts coming in, I'm sure, because our question tonight is going to blow people away. Do you agree that we should make a bigger deal about Leap Day?
I don't know. I don't know if it's that big of a deal.
Well, see, that's the problem right there. No winning attitude. It happens once every 4 years. That's our question tonight. How will you celebrate Leap Day? You get an extra day. I know it's an extra day in February when it's cold. It'd be better if it was like in August, but we're stuck with February. For whatever reason, they designated February as Leap Month. How will you celebrate Leap Day? And we have, this is kind of cool. I'm very excited tonight because we have a new phone number. And we will be, our old one involved the word party, which is fun. The new phone number is 855. You can still reach us on party, but we're going to eventually segue into this new number, which is 855-75-CIVIC. 855. This is wrong. Whoever sent this. 855-75-24842. I can't read number when they put the letters in, it messes me up. Conrad, help me figure that email out. 855-75-CIVIC is basically the number, but what are the numbers to CIVIC? That's what I think there's a misprint.
Yeah, it's 855-75-CIVIC.
No, I get that, but what are the numbers for CIVIC? I don't want to give people the wrong information.
Yeah, so it's 755-752-4842.
So it's not 855, it's 755.
Oh, sorry. See? I was reading the email and I just...
You know, and here you are laughing at Leap Day. We could use an extra day to figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
So, all right, so it's 855-75-CIVIC. We're getting no text tonight. And CIVIC is 24842, correct?
Yeah, it's 24842.
24842. Okay. That's what I wanted to know. All right. So there you go, folks. Sorry for the confusion. 855-75-24842. 855-752-4842. Or 855-75-CIVIC. You can also reach us on the app. As you know, you can. It's so easy on the app. You just click on any of the stations because we are on statewide and there's a little text icon. And fire away. We love to hear from you all through the show, no matter what we're talking about. You can interact with guests, tell us what you're watching. Or tonight, we're asking you to let us know how you're going to celebrate Leap Day. And I realize none of you have probably given this any thought until you just heard the question. But I had a revelation before. It happens once every 4 years. We should do something. This day, tomorrow, will be gone for 4 more years. Conrad doesn't care. Do you care? Will you join me in caring? Let me know. Hey, Conrad, can you put that number on the sheet too? I'll repeat it throughout the show just so we can not confuse people any further. So it is February 28th, Wednesday. Brian Hicks will be here. Christy Barlament will be here. Today is Gilbert Gottfried's birthday. And a very sad thing happened today too. Comedian Richard Lewis passed away. I had the opportunity to work. Richard Lewis and I worked together. It was one of my first road gigs in West Palm Beach, Florida, when I was a comedian. And he just could not have been nicer. He was such a nice guy. I can't say I knew him, but he knew how green I was. And he was just such a decent guy. And his act, I don't know if you guys are fans of his stand-up, but it's all like stream of consciousness off the top of his head. And I'll be honest, I never knew how much of it was prepared to look like it was off the top of his head and how much was actually off the top of his head. I never saw him again after that. And that was probably 1992 or 1993. But I will say he was just a very nice guy to a young comic. So I hope he rests in peace. And, you know, the world is a better place for having Richard Lewis in it and making us laugh. He was also very funny in Curb Your Enthusiasm. We'll hear a little bit from Richard Lewis as the show goes on. And maybe we can ask Brian Hicks about Richard Lewis. Brian's a comedian. He might have an opinion there. It's Gilbert Gottfried's birthday, but Gilbert Gottfried died in 2022. I think he was 67 or 66. Another very funny guy. And now Richard Lewis has died on the same day 1 year later, 2 years later. Bernadette Peters turns 75 today. She was very funny in the movie The Jerk. That's kind of sad. But, you know, it's kind of cool when a guy leaves the earth but has left a legacy of laughter. I find that spiritual. You can see his stuff on YouTube or on Curb Your Enthusiasm or on his many comedy specials that he left and performed in. So funny and such a great thing. So he left his mark, and we are the better for it, in my opinion. I want to say this was the last episode. I think the last episode of MASH aired today, February 28th. I'm not sure if this holds up, but it was the most popular and most viewed TV show ever. So how do you like that? Lots of stuff to get to. We're going to ask you for Meet Pete questions. Our Facebook page, the Nightlight Facebook page, likes to ask me questions. And I like to answer them. It's fun. So shoot me a question if you have one. And I'll tell you, it's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Shoot me your Meet Pete questions. Tell us how you're going to celebrate Leap Day. And we got a lot of stuff coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking about problems in the community is the first step for the Green Bay-based We All Rise African American Resource Center. But talking has to lead to helping. Executive Director Robin Scott.
They're in need of skill building, education, introduction to the workforce, and support along the way. We don't heal in silos.
Scott says since the nonprofit started a few years ago, more than 2,000 2,000 people have used the center to change their lives.
As a community, when we're all thinking about, you know, being the best version of ourselves, we have to ensure that we're being real. And I feel like when you have nonprofits in your community, that organizations that are on the ground and doing the work, and they're willing to acknowledge exactly what's going on, that's a sign of a future of a healthy city.
Learn more about this important resource at weallriseaarc.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Welcome back. So much fun to talk show business on a school night. Great to have you with me here on Nightlight. We are broadcasting statewide across our beautiful state from our WGBW studios in downtown Green Bay. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. We got a text here from Jim in Appleton from the 920. I disagree. Leap year is a big deal, he says. Okay. That's the year this country elects its president. Doesn't get much bigger than that. Let that be the end of political talk for the night. Time for fun, Pete. Well, Jim, you're the one that politicized Leap Day. But that's fine. Yeah, I like to steer clear of... It's funny. All I do is talk politics off the air. But when I am here, I just want to help people. I want to help bring us together. Showbiz and sports really are what brings people together. We get behind the same movies or TV we're watching or sports teams. It's supposed to unite us. So I hope that's what we're doing here. We all have our opinions politically, of course. Jim continues, for Leap Day, I am taking my daughter out and we're doing karaoke. Wow. That, all right, Jim, that's a great text. I think from now on, Conrad, take a memo.
Okay.
Let's try to make karaoke a huge deal on Leap Day. Moving forward, if we are here, God willing, 4 years from now, we will have a karaoke party, maybe in this very studio.
We'll have it on air.
Yeah, exactly. And then when everyone tunes us out and turns off the radio because of bad singing, we'll figure something else out. But for now, I love that idea. Jim, that's a great idea and great text. And then Papa Rico watching on the stream says, okay, there might be a lot of things I want to ask Pete. Hey, I don't even know how to contact you. Is it through the live stream? Is the old number the new number? Do we have to text? Okay, your point is well taken, Papa Rico. There are many ways to contact us. You just listed all of them, I think. Text a question in, and we'll make sure that the people that run the Facebook page and the website get the question. That's the best way to do it. So, yes, you can text in on the app or at 855-752-4842. I beg you, this will be, I'm just going to say this will be the last number we will ever, because I think since we've only been here like 3 months, we've already given like three different phone numbers, but it's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can use the old number too. I'm not going to repeat it to confuse you, but yeah, fire away, Papa Rico. Let's hear some Meet Pete questions. Comedian for years, we'll figure out how in the hell we call into karaoke. We'll figure something out. We'll do like a call-in thing. Who do we have on the phone, Conrad?
We have Tom from LA.
Oh, Tom, put him through. Tom's always fun. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, Pete?
Not too much. Welcome to Nightlight. What's on your mind, buddy?
Thank you. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that.
Correct.
And the corporations are not the government, and they're not we the people. So please, everyone wake up out there, get money out of politics so we can actually restore government back to we the people. Second, you're talking about kind of different events that happen. As a culture, we've always had, like, you were talking about MASH.
Yeah.
That was something like the whole country kind of shared together.
Yeah.
And now that's really become probably like the Super Bowl, if anything has. Otherwise, we really don't have that anymore. And I think that that's part of a coarsening of our society at large, is that we don't have that where, you know, now all the streaming things where people have to pay for them and
right.
all these different things that are happening, it really is segmenting you know, the community at large and really coarsening the culture, I think, and making it where people are going to their own little areas rather than being, you know, introduced to other items that are out there. And, you know, just like their news is already segmented, their TV watching now is becoming segmented. And it's really quite amazing how this has happened. And, you know, that we really need to take note of that and share the commonalities that we have in just being human out there, I think. And I think that TV does that, entertainment does that, sports does that. But, you know, we don't have ABC, NBC, CBS anymore in terms of, you know, the only channels that people could watch. So right. It definitely has, I think, changed the culture in major ways as well. What do you think?
I don't disagree with you 100%, Tom, but I will say that I agree that network TV made it easier because we had fewer choices. However, I do still think people find The Office or Law and Order. If there's a good show, I think it can cross party lines and often does. But you make a good point. I don't think, you know, MASH is crazy because that's still the most popular show, as I understand it, in history. Is the most viewed show is The Last MASH. But I didn't think MASH was that funny after like 4 years. And it shows you, I don't think MASH in this day and age, Tom, would have had that audience because of, as you said, things are segmented more, fragmented. I don't think you can get away with that. I think if a show falls off, there's other places people can turn, and they do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think part of it, though, is that, well, I suppose like Ozark and things like that during the pandemic definitely got people binging, you know, and they're I just find it, I don't know, maybe it's an LA thing. I don't think it is. I think it's a nationwide thing. But, you know, people talk about what they watch. People talk about,
exactly.
You know, what they're binging or what they're, you know, what they're doing. And like Dope Sick, you know, things like that. But some people haven't seen Dope Sick.
Right.
But it's like, you know, so it's more of an introduction into, hey, go check this out, I guess, more so than it's, hey, I went to the water cooler and we all watched the show last night.
Yeah.
And we all can kind of share that at the same time and space. Whereas, you know, now it's more appointment television and it's more, you know, I'll see that when I see it kind of thing. But just interesting to, you know, think about, I guess.
Oh, great phone call, Tom. Thanks so much. Have a great night. Much appreciated.
You bet.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think there are people that are going to be mad. They're going to look for something to be mad about if that's how they are, they want to be upset. Like we say sports brings people together. Well, it does for the most part, but there are those that are going to have an issue with, you know, something, the way an athlete carries him or herself or on a TV show. They don't like someone's politics. I mean, I probably voted different than maybe Bruce Willis, but I liked Bruce Willis's movie. You got to get past that stuff. I mean, you either like to watch something or you don't. Think of all the people that stopped watching football or stopped listening to, you know, this artist or that artist. I don't get that, but I guess, you know, it's everybody's own prerogative. That's how they want to feel. Papa Rico says, yeah, what Tom said. Okay. And then from the 920, Conrad's mom weighing in, it's another day. No difference unless you were born on leap year. Boy, the whole Krieger family is just a bunch of glass half empty people when it comes to leap day. Thank you, Paula. Always great to hear from you. Okay, so in just a bit, Brian Hicks is going to be here. One of my favorite comics working. He's got a Wisconsin date. We're going to talk about that and his comedy in general. Lots to cover tonight on Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. The House will vote first tomorrow on a bill to keep parts of the government funded for at least a few more weeks. Leaders reaching a deal today.
They have said essentially that they have real meaningful progress to at least fully funding part of the federal government. Negotiations continue on how to fund the rest of the federal government, but luckily they have, if they pass this temporary bill until March 22nd, to figure that part of all of this out.
ABC's Jay O'Brien on Capitol Hill. The Supreme Court has agreed to decide if former President Trump can be prosecuted on charges that he interfered in the 2020 election. The justices will hear arguments in April and issue a decision no later than June. The New York State court systems confirmed envelopes of white powder were sent to the chambers of Justice Arthur Engoron and State Attorney General Letitia James this week. She successfully prosecuted Mr. Trump in a civil fraud trial. He presided over the case. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is offering Republican state lawmakers a compromise on a plan to clean up PFAS pollution. Evers wants the Department of Natural Resources to have more authority to inspect water on private land. In exchange, Evers is asking the Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee to free up $125 million in grants for pollution cleanup in a bill that got final legislative approval last week. $15 million is on its way to Wisconsin's Chippewa Valley to support health care access as two local hospitals and several area clinics are set to close in April. The legislature approved the money last week. Today, Governor Evers passed the bill with some line item vetoes to allow more flexibility. In addition to emergency rooms, the money can now help with everything from urgent care to mental health care. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight with lows in the single digits, but sunny and much warmer tomorrow, highs in the low 40s. Sunny, breezy, and even warmer Friday, high low 50s. The warmth continues to build for the weekend, partly cloudy and near 60 Saturday, low 60 Sunday. Currently, it's 17 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
It's Oscar season, and since the award started in 1929, more than 3,000 Oscars have been awarded. But only 60 have been won by Black actors. The first Black woman to win Best Lead Actress was Halle Berry for the film Monsters Ball in 2002. Denzel Washington earned Best Lead Actor for Training Day also in 2002, marking the first time both of the top Oscars were won by African Americans. That hasn't happened since. Listen for more Black History stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Our question tonight, how will you celebrate Leap Day? It only happens once every 4 years. I feel like we should make a bigger deal about it. Conrad and his family want nothing to do with Leap Day or Leap Year. They probably don't even ever jump.
We might jump.
Your family gets no air, and that's why you hate Leap Day. What do you think your vertical is, Conrad?
Oh, I don't... Not good. we'll just leave it at that.
Kind of a sweeping... Not good. Look, all right, that's fair. Let us know what you think. How are you going to celebrate Leap Day, if at all? 855-752-4842. Note the new phone number. The old one will still work, too. 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can text us on the app. So my next guest, I'm very excited to have this guy on. He's a very funny comedian based out of Chicago, Brian Hicks. He's got a date coming up in Wisconsin. And I'm very excited to have him on the show. Before we bring Brian on, I just want to give you a little bit of a taste of his comedy.
Jake's the most giving, caring, kind-hearted little boy. And then Jenna, she is by far the biggest liar I've ever met in my life. Like, I could show her a video of her walking up to Jake, her punching him, and then her running away, and she'd be like, I don't know where you got that, Dad, but that is not me. One time I came home, there was like some scribble writing on the wall. I started freaking out. I go, who did this? Jenna comes running in from the other room. She's like, Jake did it. It was Jake. I saw him. I'm not supposed to say anything. It was Jake. I go, really? Because if you look real close right here, it kind of looks like it says Jenna was here. And then it says class of 2028 on the bottom right there. And you and I both know that Jake sucks at math, and there's no way he could have figured out that problem.
Nothing makes me laugh more than taking shots at your own children's intelligence. Brian Hicks, welcome to Nightlight. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Pete. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Hey, I'm glad I got through. I didn't think I was going to. I've been on the old line for the last 90 minutes.
Well, you're in luck. You couldn't get away that easily. It still works for now. So thanks for bearing with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, for sure.
Yeah. My pleasure. So you have a show coming up in Wisconsin. Tell us about that.
Well, first of all, I'm always so grateful to be able to come up to Wisconsin. They love people from Illinois. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but they always treat me so well up there. And they're so, they're just so welcoming. It's always great. I have a show at the Abbey Resort in Lake Geneva, and it's Lakeside Laughs. I think they do a show once a month, and I'm on the March show, March 22nd is the show.
Oh, wow. Okay. Sure. Well, maybe we'll have you back right before that just to remind people.
Yeah, but, that'd be awesome.
That's great. Is that a fun area? Have you worked Lake Geneva before?
I have. Yeah, they've got a couple of things there. I've never done the Abbey Resort before, but a funny story. I think I went on my first getaway trip with my wife, who I'm now married to for 20 years.
Wow.
That was our first weekend getaway, was at the Abbey Resort. So I'm going to look and see if I still got that little notch carved in the bedpost.
It must have been nice to lose your virginity in Lake Geneva.
It was. And I'm glad it was with my wife. So
that's so great. So tell us a little bit, Brian, about how you got your start. And it's so funny what you say about Chicago. Like, when I was a stand-up, I was based in Chicago. I loved working in Wisconsin. The Comedy Cafe in Milwaukee was probably my favorite room to work. I'm sad it's no longer there. But I've told this story before. I spent the first part of my childhood in the city off the Kennedy, off Irving Park Road, till I was 12, moved to northern Wisconsin. I still don't know why my parents picked the Marinette area, but it worked out really well. But when I'm there, I'm a fib. And when I'm in Chicago, when I went back there to go to college, I was a cheesehead. Like, I'm a man without a home. I honestly, it's a very strange place to be. I have to be honest.
Yeah, it really is. And it's crazy that it's still going on after all these years. Yeah. Can't we just all get along?
It's such a non-rivalry, too. It's like so silly. Right? I think it was my friend Tony Boswell used to say, What is the Continental Divide run between Wisconsin and Illinois? If there wasn't a sign, you wouldn't even know where you were, you know.
Yeah, Tony was one of my favorites too. He had a great line. I'm gonna say it. He goes, when we did Wisconsin before, he goes, "I know we're I'm a fib, friendly Illinois buddy."
Oh, that's great. So how did you get started in stand-up, Brian?
Oh, yeah. So I actually got a job working at a comedy club that was in Orland Park, Illinois. And it was just a weekend gig for me. It was something to do and, you know, part-time. And I started working the door there. And then within 2 weeks, I had my own key to the place. The guy was like, "I could trust this kid." So I had my own key and I was, you know, running the show, the floor manager. And then within about a month, I was locking up the place. And I'm like, wow. This moved along pretty quickly. And then I'd worked there probably, you know, five months-ish. I would had a really good rapport with comedians and stuff. And they would always say, "Hey, you want to be a comedian?" And I really didn't at that time. I just really enjoyed working at the club. And then we had a staff meeting, and I think the servers had dared me to go up on stage. So I had planned for about a month out. And I go, "All right, I'm going to go up. It's going to be Saturday night, late show." And that was the first time I ever hit any kind of stage. It was like a professional show that people paid to get in. I feel bad for those 30 people. But I had a great time. I just remember walking off the stage thinking, I've got to figure out how to do this again. I hadn't planned anything past that day.
Turns out I don't like being a grunt at a nightclub. I think I'd rather be on stage. So the set went well, your first set?
Yeah, the set went really well. I think I ended with, "Hey, I'd like to stay up here longer, but I got to go take out the garbage." That seemed to do really well. And yeah, I remember it was a snow blizzard that night, so there wasn't a ton of people there, but which probably was better for me, because if it was packed, I would have been, I was already a case of nerves. So if it was that many people, it would have been crazy. But there was about 30, 35 people. I just kind of did my thing. I just rambled through my material. I didn't make eye contact with anybody. And I remember them laughing and it going well enough for me to want to do it again.
That's so great. What was the club?
It was Riddle's Comedy Club, and it was in Orland. And it was a nice club for the time. And it was, I mean, I think we used to get 275, 300 people in there. And yeah, it was great. When it was packed out, it was a really, really good energy club. It was a lot like the Comedy Cafe when it was packed.
There was a better club. That was a fun. I worked there several times before I left Chicago. I really enjoyed it. I liked John a lot. It was a good club.
Yeah.
So is Chicago a good city to be based in still?
Well, for comedy,
yeah,
or for crime, because my crime numbers are shooting through the roof. I'm really banking.
I have a day job, right?
Right. I think comedy's changed so much over the years. You've got to see this as well. I used to think it was probably the best city for comedy. I thought being in the Midwest and being a comic in the Midwest, I go, where would anybody else? Why would anyone want to go to New York, where you only have one side to work, or LA, where you only have one side to work? I go, I'm right in Chicago. I could work, you know, within 3, 4, 5 hours of the Midwest. I used to, as a part-time comedian who had a full-time job, I think my busiest year, I probably worked 46 or 47 weeks of doing comedy as a part-time comedian. But I think that's changed now. I think you could really establish yourself anywhere. They've got so many independent shows now. You don't even need to be working clubs to be considered a comedian or a working comedian anymore.
My guest is Brian Hicks. He is a Chicago-based stand-up comedy who will be at the Abbey Resort. Is it the Abbey Resort, March 22nd?
That is correct.
Okay, so check him out. He's a very funny guy. You have three kids?
I have three kids, yep. I have a daughter who is in college. She goes to Northwestern. And then I have twins that are 14. They're going to be 15 in about a month.
Okay, so how did that work for you in terms of, were they born after you started doing stand-up or before?
Well, they were born after I started doing stand-up.
Okay, so you're sort of established.
Yeah, so I've been married for 21 years, coming up on 21 years. My daughter's 19 now, so you can do the math. It happened pretty rapidly.
Happened legally.
I got in. It was Lake Geneva.
Yeah, Lake Geneva does that. It's like an aphrodisiac.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we had her, and, you know, I was fortunate because there was I was established at obviously the club I worked at. There was Zanies. There was a club, Comedy in Lyle, Barrel Laughs, which was a smaller club, but it was instrumental in sure. my development. And they were all pretty close and they were all pretty loyal to me and I was loyal to them. So they gave me a lot of work where I could stay home and take care of the kids and, you know, disappear for maybe one weekend a month rather than all four.
Well done. I remember the Barrel of Laughs and it was always fun to work there, but they were sort of a little bit, I don't want to say, they would just make jokes that were even outdated at the time regarding race or sexuality or whatever.
And oh, absolutely.
I remember Dwayne Kennedy going up there saying, it's nice to be here in Oak Lawn. When I left my apartment, it was 1995 and it's 1965.
It went back in time.
It went back in time. And he just said, and people laughed. They loved it. You know, it was a fun room. And Bill Brady was always a fun guy. What are your favorite clubs to work outside of Chicago, Brian?
Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids has always been a pretty cool club. I think there was something else in Grand Rapids at the time. I think I came a little late, so I didn't get to do it. So I've only known Dr. Grin's, but that's a pretty good club. Comedy Club on State, it was always a great club. And
in Madison?
Madison crowds were always awesome.
That was one of my favorite rooms to work to. Have you worked the new Comedy on State?
I think I did it one time. Okay. I think I aged out of that room, Pete.
Oh, did you?
It's definitely still a school town. And when I started going there, I didn't have any kids, so everyone could relate to me. And then when I started doing more material about my kids, they're like, what's this guy talking about?
How old is this guy?
right.
Who are your influences, Brian? Who did you look up to as a comedian before you started?
I remember seeing the Rodney Dangerfield Young Comedian specials. And it was almost everybody who he had on those. I mean, it was John Fox and Bob Nelson. Sam Kinison was on there. Dice Clay at the time. Bob Saget. I mean, killers, you know?
Yeah.
I remember growing up with them, watching those with my friend. Paul Rodriguez was another one I really, really enjoyed. And they were great, man. And I just would watch them all the time. And Dangerfield was always my favorite, though. I knew his jokes verbatim. I mean, I thought he was great.
It's funny you say Paul Rodriguez. You just kind of, I forgot that I had worked with Paul. I worked with him in Tampa and he was kind of more of a fast lane guy than me. I had a pretty serious girlfriend who became my wife and the opener and I, he would say, you guys got to watch my back. I don't want someone coming after me in this club. And we're like, what kind of club are we in? We're like in our early 20s. And he's like, and my buddy, Mike Fogarty was his name. The MC said and this is after Paul said he was hosting the Young Comedian special coming up. And he kept dangling and saying, yeah, maybe you guys could be on there. There's no way we ever could have been on there. But the MC kept saying, I'll cover his back. I'll take a knife for HBO. Not knowing we had no chance whatsoever, but that's so funny. You're a clean comic though. Was that a conscious choice or is that just how you felt you wanted, or you got more laughs with?
Yeah. I don't know. It was just kind of natural for me. And then I did learn early on, I go, the cleaner I was, the more work I was going to get. And so I was hosting shows on a pretty regular basis where some of my friends were not working as much. So I always thought, hey, if one, I wanted to take host work, which some of my friends didn't want to do that either. I go, I can take host work as much as I could. And if I was clean, they could obviously use me a lot more. So then I just kind of progressed that way. I had some really good dirty jokes along the way though, Pete. But then when I would do them, I go, this doesn't fit into the other 20 minutes I have, you know?
Right.
So I usually gave them away or, you know, just dropped them.
Fun to tell off stage anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
My guest is Brian Hicks. You can check out learn more about Brian at funnybrianhicks.com. He's got a Wisconsin date coming up. We'll talk to him a little more about that next and find out what he's watching on TV and how he feels about Richard Lewis's passing. That's all coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. We learn more from a 3-minute record than we ever learned in school. Turn out of here, the neighborhood. Drum a sound and feel my heart begin to pound. So you're tired, just wanna close your eyes. Follow your dream down. If we made a promise, we swore we'd always remember. No retreat, baby, no surrender.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Crunch the numbers. Wisconsin's state retirement system is financing polluters and helping create climate chaos, which is not good for our water, our air, or our planet. It's time to insist on common sense investments, not bankrolling yesterday's fossil fuels. Be the change. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org and sign the petition. Our investments should be protected, and it should serve to protect. Future generations will thank you.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfheim, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back. Our question tonight, how will you celebrate Leap Day? It should be, what do you think of our new phone number? But we're not going to go there. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know how you're celebrating Leap Day. The Krieger family seems split in half. Conrad's dad weighing in. Sorry, Pete. On the other half of the Krieger family saying Leap Day is just another day. I have been a firm believer since I understand that February 29, the day has existed, that everyone in the world had an extra day of your birthday, New Year's, Valentine's, St. Patrick's, Easter, 4th of July, Halloween, and Christmas Day. There sounds like there's some dissension there in your family, Conrad. You guys should be interesting next time you see your folks. And then Steve, 92, said, whoops, and Thanksgiving Day. Yes, Steve, I was wondering why you failed to mention Thanksgiving. My favorite holiday. And then from the 608, Aunt Carla chimes in. Aunt Carla listening, I really don't know how I'm going to celebrate Leap Day tomorrow. Maybe I'll start a new Krieger family tradition. And tomorrow night, I'll let you know what I come up with. That's fair. On a positive note, it gives me one extra day in February. Instead of getting older in 15 days, it's now 16. Sounds like Aunt Carla has a birthday coming up. Birthdays are not as exciting getting older, not like when you're turning 16, 21, or 30. And I'm not revealing my birth year. Well, we know you're older than 30. Carla, so you sort of let the cat out of the bag.
31.
There you go. Brian Hicks is with us. He's a Chicago-based comedian, very funny guy, spending some time with us here tonight on Nightlight. Brian, you have such great jokes about your wife and kids. How do they feel about that? Do they like being part of your act?
They do. I think I have a joke about my son being horrible at math. He actually gets an A plus in algebra. He's like so incredibly good at math.
But that's not funny, right?
It's not funny. So I go, hey, does that bother you a little bit? He goes, no, I get it. You know, he understands it. And all the kids, they, anytime I just mention their name, they're like, oh, here it comes. You know, so they're waiting for it. And I usually run the stuff by my wife before I throw it out just to make sure. Because that could be a little touchy sometimes.
She could get a little, yeah, honey, do you mind if I refer to our son as a dunce just in the name of laughter?
<That's> right? Yeah.
And like, is she okay with it?
Yeah. Anything for a laugh.
And your wife's okay with it if you make the kids part of the act?
Yeah. She's fine. She enjoys it. And it's funny because I'll do local things and the kids' friends' parents will come see the show. And I think they enjoy it too. I say Jake and Jenna and they're like, oh, we know them, you know? And yeah, everyone
That's
enjoys
great. Do either one of your kids want to follow in your footsteps? I know they're young, but have they taken an interest or shown an interest in show business or comedy?
No, they really haven't.
Good for you.
My daughter could certainly do some sort of acting, drama, something like that, but she hasn't really. I try to push her towards it, but she hasn't shown it. So, no, I mean, I think they really enjoy getting to come see shows when they do. Which is cool. And then being cleaner, they can come and see some shows, which I'm pretty happy about. But no, none of them have really, I don't know, maybe they're like, oh, it's not that impressive. I'm more impressed with it than they are.
I don't want to go into that. Look at how it's affected dad. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's funny. We have a mutual friend, Mike Toomey.
And oh, yeah, Mike's great.
I met you through Mike. I didn't meet you the way two comics typically meet, even though I was not really a stand-up comic at the time. But you guys were riding through Marinette, and Mike stopped to say hello, and you were with him, and that's how I met you. Yeah. I think that's kind of a cool way for two comedians to meet.
Yeah, yeah. He goes, hey, we're going to go to my friend Pete's house. Pete lives up here. And I'm like, oh, all right. I thought we were just going to drive home, but yeah, we can go to Pete's house.
Sure. Who's Pete again? Yeah. I love it, though, that he tells me his kids want nothing to do with show business either. Your kids don't seem interested. My kids both are interested, and I never push them. Like, I never, like, encourage them, or I don't discourage them. Like, I'm supportive, but I don't know how that happened. I guess it's just one of those things. I think my son likes hearing the stories I've told about show business or stand-up, and I'm like, well, those are great stories, but there's a job that goes along with it that can really suck at times, or it can be fun, yeah, you know. But yeah, what do you tell your kids? Would you encourage them if they wanted to do it?
I mean, I think I would. I started late. I think I was 29 when I first went on stage. And I think that I, my progression was a lot, it took a lot longer than it would have if I started when I was younger. I still had nerves, like, you know, 5 years into it. So now I'm 35 years old telling jokes, shaking on stage because I'm nervous, you know. So I think if I was like younger, then I think it would have just, you know, it would have been more natural, more normal. My son plays guitar now, and I tried to do that when I was older too. I never had any good ideas when I was younger, Pete. This is all when I was like older. I'm like, oh, that seems like that'd be fun to do. So I tried to play guitar when I was older, but I was just bad at it because I'm trying, it's teaching old dog new tricks. Where my son picks up a guitar, a month in, he's better than I was after playing for 3 years, you know? So it's just a kind of a, I don't know.
You're a late bloomer.
Yeah, I'm a late bloomer.
So do you probably heard the news about Richard Lewis today. Were you a fan?
I was a fan. Not a super huge fan, but definitely respected what he did. I mean, he accomplished so much, and I mean the albums he put out, and he was a legend. He was definitely a legend in Chicago. I posted some stuff from the club today, and I mean he must have five different headshots on the wall at Zany's, as well as a big painting portrait that we pay homage to all the time.
He was one of the big shots. So tell us about your gig at Zany's. I forgot you work at Zany's. That's such a treasure, man. That little hole in the wall club on Wells Street in Old Town. So cool.
Yeah. So I, you know, I worked at Zany's as a comic for 20 something years. And a couple of years ago after the pandemic, I had my full-time job, was furloughed from that, and then had an opportunity to become the general manager at Zany's. It was, wow. You know, I mean, I started at a comedy club and I became, you know, I told you how fast I became a manager there. So clearly I had skills, and I was, you know, so I got the position at Zany's, and it's been pretty cool. I got an awesome staff. I mean, just the most amazing staff when it comes to comedy clubs. Our turnover rate is so minimal, Pete, and I can't understand it because I went to clubs and I'd see, you know, every 6 months there'd be a whole different set of servers at the club. And you're like, I don't recognize anybody. But downtown, my crew is so good. I mean, we've got people there who have been 3, 4, 5 years, and they've all been there since I've been there. So
that's so great. If you're listening and you ever do get to Chicago, check out Zany's Comedy Club. It's tiny. A lot of comics don't like it. I love it. I did a contest there in college. It's just was in my bones from a young age when I was doing stand-up, and I just think the place is just such a great thing. Hey, can you stick around for just a few more minutes, Brian? I'd love to ask you a couple more questions if you can do that.
Absolutely.
Right, you're not on your way to Lake Geneva or anything.
Not yet.
All right. Very good. Brian Hicks will stick around for a few more minutes. That's coming up next. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Darling, I can't stand it when you look at me that way. Hey, I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down. I feel my heart start to tremble whenever you're around.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Thursday at 8 a.m. I'll be joined by pharmacist Omar Iliwa, as well as historian Reggie Jackson. You won't want to miss it.
Dieterville Lumber and Supply in Denmark is honoring, recognizing, and saluting all the troops standing tall for all of our American freedoms. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters in support from home. This from Dieterville Lumber and Supply on South County Road T in Denmark. Our soldiers make the ultimate sacrifice every day, so please give them a salute, a handshake, or just say thanks. Serving the community with pride for more than 60 years. For all your building supplies, stop in today or call 920-863-2191.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.